brought to you by Penguin.
The Little Sister by Raymond Chandler. Read for you by Scott Brick. Chapter 1. The pebbled glass door panel is lettered in flaked black paint. Philip Marlowe, Investigations. It is a reasonably shabby door at the end of a reasonably shabby corridor, in the sort of building that was new about the year the all-tile bathroom became the basis of civilization. The door is locked, but next to it is another door with the same legend, which is not locked. Come on in. There's nobody in here but me and a big bluebottle fly. But not if you're from Manhattan, Kansas. It was one of those clear, bright summer mornings we get in the early spring in California before the high fog sets in. The rains are over. The hills are still green, and in the valley across the Hollywood Hills, you can see snow on the high mountains. The fur stores are advertising their annual sales. The call houses that specialize in 16-year-old virgins are doing a land office business. And in Beverly Hills, the jacaranda trees are beginning to bloom. I had been stalking the bluebottle fly for 5 minutes, waiting for him to sit down. He didn't want to sit down. He just wanted to do wingovers and sing the prologue to Pagliacci. I had the fly swatter poised in midair, and I was all set. There was a patch of bright sunlight on the corner of the desk, and I knew that sooner or later, that was where he was going to light. But when he did, I didn't even see him at first. The buzzing stopped, and there he was. And then the phone rang. I reached for it inch by inch with a slow and patient left hand. I lifted the phone slowly and spoke into it softly. "Hold the line a moment, please." I laid the phone down gently on the brown blotter. He was still there, shining and blue-green and full of sin. I took a deep breath and swung. What was left of him sailed halfway across the room and dropped to the carpet. I went over and picked him up by his good wing and dropped him into the wastebasket. "Thanks for waiting," I said into the phone.
"Is this Mr. Marlowe, the detective?"
It was a small, rather hurried, little girlish voice. I said it was Mr. Marlowe, the detective.
"How much do you charge for your services, Mr. Marlowe?"
"What was it you wanted done?" The voice sharpened a little.
"I can't very well tell you that over the phone. It's very confidential. Before I'd waste time coming to your office, I'd have to have some idea.
$40 a day and expenses. Unless it's the kind of job that can be done for a flat fee."
"That's far too much," the little voice said. "Why, it might cost hundreds of dollars, and I only get a small salary, and..."
"Where are you now?"
"Why, I'm in a drugstore. It's right next to the building where your office is."
"You could have saved a nickel. The elevator's free."
I beg your pardon?"
I said it all over again. "Come on up, and let's have a look at you," I added. "If you're in my kind of trouble, I can give you a pretty good idea."
"I have to know something about you," the small voice said very firmly. "This is a very delicate matter, very personal. I couldn't talk to just anybody."
"If it's that delicate," I said, "maybe you need a lady detective."
"Goodness, I didn't know there were any."
Pause.
"But I don't think a lady detective would do at all. You see, Orin was living in a very tough neighborhood, Mr. Marlowe. At least I thought it was tough. The manager of the rooming house is a most unpleasant person. He smelt of liquor. Do you drink, Mr. Marlowe?"
"Well, now that you mention it, I don't think I'd care to employ a detective that uses liquor in any form. I don't even approve of tobacco." "Would it be all right if I peeled an orange?"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?